Just ignore those guys over there. I trust you've been blessed, encouraged, and challenged already this morning through the testimonies, through the songs. It's harvest time here at Community Bible Church. The Lord of the harvest is bringing forth a spiritual harvest. He's drawing individuals to himself. He's changing and transforming lives. And what's just as amazing as that is he wants to use you and I as part of that process. He wants to use us to bring forth a spiritual harvest. Each one of us has an innate desire to make a difference, to make our lives count. And you and I have the opportunity as his children to be in his fields with him, to make an eternal difference in people's lives. Regardless of your past, regardless of your present struggles, regardless of your issues, God desires to use you to make a difference in people's lives, to be part of the process, to be his instruments in drawing others to himself. If that's something you desire, if that's something you want to be part of, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament. It's about three-quarters of the way through the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul is writing to the believers of Corinth. The church at Corinth had a lot of struggles. In fact, you could call them a very dysfunctional fellowship. They were a dysfunctional family of believers. They were taking their eyes off of Christ. They were taking their eyes off of the harvest. And they were focused on themselves. They were focused on their own gifts. And there was a lot of comparison going on within the believers at Corinth. And so Paul wants them to understand their role in light of the harvest. So follow along as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Apparently, there were believers at Corinth who were saying things like this: I'm not needed. I'm not necessary. I don't have anything to offer. I'm not important. This fellowship, this church will be fine without me. Maybe you're here this morning and you can resonate with some of those feelings and thoughts. It feels true. You look around and you see a church this size and you say, well, I'm not really needed here. Besides, there's other people who can teach better, serve better, sing better. I really can't do any of those things. I'm not needed. And so Paul uses this analogy of a physical body to highlight that there's multiple parts of a body, but one body. And then he goes into this interesting narrative between body parts to help that text come alive. Take a look here at the dialogue between the hands and feet.
Hi, hands.
What's wrong, feet? You look upset.
Yeah. You know, I just don't feel like I'm part of the body. There's not much I can do. I just don't feel special.
That's silly. Of course you're special. I couldn't go anywhere without you.
Oh, yeah, but look at you. Just look at you. You're special. You can wear rings. You can cheer for people by clapping. You can even wave to people. The nose told me the other day that I smell bad. I'm just not that special.
There, don't be sad.
Hey, keep yourself off of me. You're just rubbing it in. See, you can even comfort people with your touch. When I touch people, it's just gross. All those hangnails and calluses. Not to mention my toe jam. I'm just the lowest body part there is.
Isn't the Apostle Paul really creative? I mean, I didn't make that up. I mean, that was what Paul was doing here in 1 Corinthians 12. He was talking or illustrating how parts of the body, how foolish, how absurd it would be if they would not only be communicating, but be communicating that they don't have a role to play, that they're not significant, that they're not important. And so this morning, as we think about that God wants to bring forth a spiritual harvest here at CBC, you and I need to understand that it's a lie that you are not needed, because the truth of the matter is found in verse 18. Look at verse 18. It says, "But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." Isn't that an awesome verse? Let me read it again. "But in fact, God, the God of the universe, has arranged the parts in the body." Not some of them, not most of them, not half of them. Every one of them, just as he wants them to be. Meditate on that verse for a while. If you call Community Bible Church your spiritual home, it's not a coincidence. God has brought you here for such a time as this. And he's brought you here with your specific abilities, with your past, with your experiences, with your gifts. And he desires to use each one of us to carry out a specific role and function within the body of Christ here at CBC. That's what God's Word says. The God of the universe has placed you here with your gifts, with your abilities, for such a time as this. Think about it, if you look at the text here. What would it be like if there wasn't a sense of smell, if there was no ears to hear or no feet? There would be a significant void in our physical body. In the same way, there will be a specific void in this body of believers if you're not carrying out your God-given design function and role. As you think about your God-given function and role, I want you to understand that God wants to use that specific role in light of the harvest. So don't believe the lie that you're not needed. Keep coming back to the truth found in verse 18, that you have a God-given role to fulfill. If you look at verses 19 through 26, Paul is going to speak to a different segment of the believers at Corinth. Follow along as we read this section. It says, "If they were all one part, the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no divisions in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." In the first paragraph we looked at, there was individuals within the believers at Corinth who compared themselves to others and quickly felt as if they didn't measure up, that they didn't have anything to offer, that they weren't needed. And so Paul speaks to them and he says, the reality is each one of you are needed. Now this paragraph, there's another segment of the believers at Corinth, and they think they're more spiritual, more important. They don't need the other gifts, the other people within the body to carry out the work of the ministry. So let's go back to another dialogue between the hands and the feet.
Hi, feet. Wow, you look great. What happened? Have you done something different with your toes?
As a matter of fact, I have. See, I can wear rings too. And I just painted my nails.
You certainly seem happier.
Well, I went to a psychologist podiatrist, and he helped me walk through my issues. Turns out, I'm special too.
That's what I was trying to help you see all along.
Yeah, but my foot shrank. Dr. Scholes, he showed me how special I really am. And you know what? You were right when you said that you couldn't go anywhere without me. As a matter of fact, the whole body can't go anywhere without me.
Hey, Fee, let's not be arrogant, okay?
Hey, I'm just saying it like it is. I just had a pedicure yesterday. Now I smell like lilac and honey. And next week, I get my toe hairs plucked.
Well, I'm glad you seem to be feeling better.
Yeah. You know, it turns out, I don't need the rest of you anyway.
Did we get the right two guys to do that or what? The feet's last words to the hands were, "I don't need you." Look again at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." Why? Because you and I can accomplish more through working together than we can accomplish by ourselves. In math, 1 plus 1 equals 2. In many ways, in the body of believers, 1 plus 1 equals 3. Because one person's gifts with another person's gift, when they come together, accomplishes far more than either one of them could do by themselves. Let me illustrate how that's played itself out over the past couple weeks here at CBC. If you're taking notes, lie number 2 is, I don't need others. The truth, according to this text, Paul is reminding the believers of Corinth and as well as us as well, is that we do need each other to carry out the work of the ministry, the work of the harvest. So here's the example. American Home Life has sent 9 individuals to live with families here at CBC over the past couple weeks. And they were all young ladies except for the young man in the middle. And next to him is Vicki Garber. And Vicki used her administrative skills to coordinate this whole outreach ministry. So God uses Vicki and her giftedness, but she couldn't have hosted all 9 of those individuals in the Garber family. Dave says, no way. So she needed the body because she couldn't do it by herself. So let me show you one of the individuals that hosted a couple, and that is Josh and Kelly Nisley. And Kelly shared with us at staff meeting on Monday morning about her experience with UCO. And so she put it in written form. And let me read about the experience that her and Josh had with their student UCO. She says, each student was given a book about their school to give to their host families. The school was founded by a missionary from the U.S. It's this Christian school, but the students who attend there are not believers. One evening, Kelly says, our student UCO gave us the book, and we looked through it together. While the wording was in Japanese, I could tell there was a Bible verse on one page of the pages. So I asked UCO what it said. She told me it was written in old Japanese, and so she didn't know how to explain it in English. I asked her what the reference part was, and she was able to tell me, and I found out that it was a verse in 1 Corinthians. So I got my Bible and looked it up and read it to her in English. UCO then went to her room to get the Japanese Bible that was given to her by American Home Life to show that she had a Bible also. I asked her if she wanted to see the most popular verse. She did, and so I showed her John 3:16 in her Bible. She quickly ran to her room and came back with a highlighter and highlighted the verse. Yuko seemed excited to read the verse, but didn't say anything about it, so we continued moving on, looking at the book about her school. The next evening, Yuko brought her Bible to me, which was open to John 3:16, and asked me to explain what that verse meant. What an opportunity! I did my best, Kelly says, to explain the verse, as well as a few other verses to share the gospel with her. Yuko said that she's not a Christian, but believes there is a God and is excited to study more about him. When she left, Josh told her that we will not say goodbye, but we will say see you later, as we hope to see her again, if not on earth, in heaven. That was just one story, one snapshot of what God was able to do through these host families as they lived with, as they ministered to these Japanese students. Keep in mind, what if Vicky would have said, you know what, I can do this all by myself. I don't need the rest of the body. Or what if Kelly and Josh said, you know what, it'd be really great to have a Japanese student in our family for a few weeks, and they would have tried to organize the whole thing. There's one more person I want to bring into the story. There's John Noll, our building maintenance guy. You think, well, what does John have to do with American home life, Japanese students? Well, for the 10 days they were here, they studied English, and they had class here at the church. And so John and his volunteers were responsible for cleaning those rooms, setting up the tables, taking down the chairs, cleaning the bathrooms. You see, John and those of you who volunteer with him have a role to play in the work that God was doing through these host families in the lives of these Japanese students. But every part is needed. We need John and his volunteers to do what they do. We needed Vicky's administrative gifts. We needed the host family. And so that's just one example of how so much more can be accomplished when we work together. And so the lie is that we don't need each other to do God's work. But the truth of the matter is we can accomplish far more when we each use our gifts and we work together. Look with me now at verse 27. Paul says this, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." It seems like Paul keeps coming back to this main statement that you are the body of Christ. And my assumption is that there were believers in Corinth who were feeling very insignificant. They were feeling like they really didn't have a purpose and a meaning to their lives. They were believing the lie that they're not significant, that they're insignificant. And so Paul makes this statement. He reminds them that they are the body of Christ. As you think about that, think about what Paul is communicating. He's not communicating what they need to do. He's communicating who they are. He's speaking to their identity. He's speaking to their worth. He's speaking to their value. Some of us, we get up, we go to work, we come home, we eat, take care of things around the house, or we get up and we go to school, come home and we do homework and we go to bed and we do it all over again. We're busy, but our lives have no meaning, purpose, or significance. Here is what Paul is saying. You are the body of Christ. You are the physical presence of Jesus on this earth. How cool is that? That you are literally the hands and feet and mouthpiece of Jesus. So when you get up in the morning, don't just view yourself as a farmer or a businessman or a homemaker. Get up in the morning and say, I am the body of Christ. I am the physical presence of Jesus in my community, in my home, in my workplace. As you think about your identity that is yours in Christ, I don't want you to walk out of here thinking this week, oh man, I got to get busier. I got to do more. No, it's not about getting busier. It's not about doing. It's about understanding who we are and living in that reality. You see, when you and I come to Christ, Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And you and I need to abide in Christ. We need to be connected to Him. Jesus used the analogy that He was the vine and we were the branches. And if we're going to produce fruit, well, we need to stay connected to the vine. God wants to produce fruit in your life. He wants to use you to bring forth the spiritual harvest. It's not about getting busier. It's about abiding in Christ, connecting with Him. Because as Christ lives in you, as He reigns in your heart, He flows through your life, and you're allowed, and He's enables you to speak words of grace and truth, words of healing, words of hope. And you will never know what your actions, what your words will say, how God will be able to use you as you understand that you are His physical presence on this earth. I was taken back by Pam when she shared as a teenager. I don't know if you caught this or not. There was a very dark time in her life when she didn't want to live, even attempted suicide. She was in her house, hadn't taken a shower, basically hadn't left her room for days. And someone from the Word of Life Chapel down the road showed up at her house and sat on the porch and wouldn't leave until she came out. That lady probably can't even remember that. She probably worked in youth group and did all sorts of things and said, oh, did it really matter? But when Pam thinks back over her life and how God pursued her, she thinks back to this lady. And how the people at that youth group event touched her life. You see, that lady and the people who prayed with her that night were the physical presence of Jesus Christ in Pam's life. You and I have that same opportunity this week. It's the last week of a 4-week series. It's harvest time. We began by saying that Jesus referred to the Heavenly Father as the Lord of the harvest. It's His harvest fields. He wants to use each of us in His harvest fields. If that's going to happen, we need to understand that we each have a role to play. We need to understand that we can accomplish far more by working together and utilizing each other's gifts than we could ever accomplish by ourselves. And we need to understand that as we go about what we do every day, we are to be the physical presence of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Just take a moment to quiet our hearts, close our eyes. God desires to speak and to minister to each of our hearts this morning. I've hoped you sensed His presence. Just think back to the service and what God might be whispering into your heart and mind this morning. Maybe it was something through a song. Maybe it was something through one of the testimonies. Maybe it was one of the verses that we looked at in 1 Corinthians 12. Maybe God's whispering words of hope and affirmation and encouragement. Maybe He's whispering words of conviction, asking you to change, asking you to surrender. If you and I view ourselves as being the physical presence of Christ on this earth, how will that shape how we think, how we live? Dear Heavenly Father, when we think about us being Your physical presence on this earth, being Your body, Lord, we're overwhelmed because we don't feel adequate. We know our frailties. We know our struggles. But yet, Lord, we're thankful that it's not about us. It's about You reigning in our hearts, living in and through us. Lord, help us to stay connected to You, to abide in You, so that we can be faithful to speak Your words of hope, of truth, so that we can serve and love those around us that You love and want to serve. Lord, so that we can proclaim Your gospel message. Lord, I pray that You would not just use us individually, but Lord, that You would continue to knit our hearts together, that there's one body, that You would draw us together, that we would be able to complement one another as we serve together for the sake of Your kingdom, for the sake of Your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.